All right. Pat, introduce our guest, Thomas Harding, MLB.com.
You cover the Rockies, right?
Yeah, cover the Fighting Rockies.
I like this guy, Marty. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Pick that mic up a little bit.
All right, there we go. How about that? How about
there you go. Perfect. All right.
It's a little tall for me, but that's okay.
Well, let me first start by saying that I know who Will Clark is, but I was having a major brain fart, and I thought the Giants led baseball in homers, and I'm looking a little bit closer. I don't know where I came up with that number. It's the Rockies, and they've got 42 team homers, and it starts with your third baseman. So just what's it like to cover this guy, Nolan Arenado?
You're covering one of the great players in baseball, and I think nationwide, for some reason, that lesson hasn't seeped in. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's won gold gloves every year he's been there and has improved offensively each season. Hit 42 home runs last year, tied Bryce Harper for the lead. I mean, what more does this have to do? Does this guy have to do to be known as one of the great players? I'll tell you what,
World Series.
The Rockies have to win. Yeah, the Rockies have to win. But this guy is a treat to watch every single day because not only did he come in with a whole lot of talent, but you can see the mind developing. You can see him going from a young kid to a veteran. He's pretty young, what, 25 years old?
Yeah, and he could pick it at third. Mike Kruko told the Murph and Max show yesterday, top three players in baseball. And Marty, I'd like to get your reaction. It's almost kind of a no-brainer, but Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and Nolan Arenado, top three. Marty?
Yeah, I could go for that. Okay. You know, you got Machado in there. You got to deal, you know, a little bit with that. But from what we've seen, of course, he kills the Giants. But from what we've seen, and as Thomas said, 42 home runs, a three-time All-Star already?
Three-time Gold Glove winner.
Three-time Gold Glove
and a Silver Slugger last year.
130 RBIs. And he's going to join us this morning. Cool. Why don't you hear the interview with him?
Okay.
Because I wanted to say, you know, we're talking about this kid, and he's killing the Giants. Who are you? So we're going to have him on today, but go ahead.
And then we were talking about Johnny Cueto and the last time that he started against the Rockies, and he had an interesting kind of recollection.
Yeah, he was pitching for the Cincinnati Reds, but actually he knew before walking out there that he would no longer be pitching for the Cincinnati Reds by the end of the game. And what did he do? He went to Coors Field and very calmly threw 8 shutout innings, and the few Cincinnati people were there were kind of cheering for him. And I think that the Denver people also tipped their hat to him. He came out and dominated that game and then ended up with a World Series ring, and I was there. And to watch him come alive in the playoffs, and especially at Kauffman Stadium, that's the type of guy that you have here in San Francisco.
Well, what do you think, Marty?
Well, I agree. You know, other than the two meltdown innings, one against the Reds, one against the Dodgers, he's pitched 40 innings and given up like 6 runs.
And he's able to kind of correct the ship or right the ship or whatever that cliche is, right?
Very good. Very good observation. Seriously.
And wait until the games really matter. That's when he shows up, especially at home. I mean, with the Reds at home, he was outstanding. With the Royals last year, his home record was outstanding. So I think the fans here, once they get to know him and see him pitch in some good games, big games, they're going to like him.
Yeah, here he's 2-1, 23 innings, 9 earned runs, 3 walks, 22 strikeouts. And that's pretty good. But you're right, Pat. When the going gets tough, you can see the guy's expression change and his demeanor change. And everything this guy does on the ball field has a purpose. I don't care how he twists, turns, runs, swings, chops at the ball, whatever it is. Everything he does on the ball field has it. There's nothing given away. And that's what I like about him. Pat asked you about this earlier, the Linscomb Showcase. Have you ever been to one of these before? And it's kind of weird. You articulated, Pat, but seeing him on the screen wearing shorts, and it looked like something out of a high school tryout.
Well, that's exactly what it looked like to me. I remember a few years ago taking kids to Little League tryouts and Little League combine. You'd see guys show up with neon shoes and different colored socks. But, you know, I was thinking, as you were saying that, Pat, what was he going to wear? A baseball jersey maybe with a 55 on the back that says your name here on the front? I mean, I don't know what you could wear to one of those things.
Open billboard space. You know, Chris Linscomb could have the sign, right? The whole thing like you see out on the streets here. What is your reaction to how he threw? I mean, I don't know if you watched or if you looked at the notes, but...
Well, I didn't watch it, to be honest with you. I mean, and the whole idea that this is a showcase, I mean, let's face it, it's a job interview, not a showcase, you know?
Right.
Maybe next time I go for a job, I'll call it a showcase and talk
love
about
it.
Very
I
good.
Love it.
That's a good line of what you put across a shirt.
Right.
Put your name here.
Sure.
Bochy had a good line last night with Willie Mays. You know, he came into, I was lucky enough to be in there earlier, and comes into Willie and says something about Bochy. Said Willie says something about Bochy's money and blah blah blah. And Bochy goes, "If I had your money, Willie, I would burn mine."
That's great.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I said, "I'm going to use that."
Well, right.
I like that line.
I wasn't at the showcase yesterday. What I'm wondering is, was there food? It takes me back to when Steve McNair was coming out of Alcorn State.
Yep.
I went to his pro day, and he was just in a t-shirt and shorts. Steve Mariucci was running, and he was a quarterback's coach, I think, with the Packers at the time. And his mother made all this barbecue, and there's this whole table of incredible food. It's like everybody in the NFL, guys who knew they weren't going to draft him, they all showed up, and I'm convinced it was to eat the food. So if Lincecum had put out a spread there, there would have been probably double the scouts, maybe double the media, too.
Well, there was 40 to 50 members of the media there, or at least scouts that were there with their radar guns and whatnot, Marty.
Yeah, they panned it, and we picked out a few of them. Scott Reed, I saw him there. Ron Schuler was there. We saw a few of the faces we see all the time. Thomas Harding joins us. A very pleasure to have you here, Thomas. MLB.com. He covers the Rockies. Tell us about John Gray in this matchup. We know about Cueto. What about John Gray?
I'll tell you what. To be honest with you, you can look at the ERA right now and say, "Oh, it's another Rockies pitcher." No, absolutely not. Two of the three times he stepped out there, he set his career high for strikeouts. This is a guy who was drafted in 2013 as the third overall pick, and he broke in last year with the Rockies. There were nine starts, but they're really nine tightly controlled starts because he was under an innings limit and a pitch limit for the season, and they let him reach that, and that was it. He came to camp. They were expecting him to be a big part of the rotation. He ends up with a abdominal injury in about the middle toward the end of camp, so he misses the beginning of the year. Strikes out 10 against the Dodgers, gets a no decision. There's a lot. There's some inexperience there that you'll see at times, but you see just this incredible talent. Against the Padres in his last start, he comes out. First four guys reach, he's down 2-0, then he absolutely dominates through six innings, and he's removed in an offensive switch late in that game, and they end up losing the game, 2-1, I believe it was. But this is a guy, the talent is there, the desire is there, the experience is not there yet. The other start that he had in between was one of the strangest starts I've ever seen, because he's facing the Pirates, one of the most disciplined teams going. I mean, I'm shocked at how disciplined they are. He throws 96 pitches, 63 of them strikes. He only walks one guy, yet he lasted only, 3 2/3 innings?
Wow.
Because the Pirates fouled off 23 pitches, 12 of them with two strikes. It was just staying alive, and he couldn't really use his changeup because they weren't going to chase that pitch. So it was a great learning experience for him. Every time out, you see something better from him. He has developed a bit. Last year, you could run on him a lot. This year, he's cutting down on some of it. It's like each time you watch him, you see growth. And at some point, this guy's going to be a force in this rotation and maybe a force like we haven't seen around Colorado.
Let me ask you, I mean, is being drafted to pitch for Colorado Rockies kind of like being drafted to play quarterback for the Browns? Because we know the altitude and the history, and I can't really think of the last time they had an ace outside of Ubaldo Jimenez. And
well,
so you tell me.
Yeah, there was Jeff Francis before him.
Okay.
A lot of times.
Chassin wasn't too bad.
Yeah, right, Chassin was not that bad. He ended up getting injured. And you can develop pitching there, but it seems like you develop it for a short window. Like if you go back to the 2007-2009 Rockies, where the 2007 team actually, when they went on that streak to go to the playoffs, three of their five starters were injured, so they were just calling up guys out of the minors like Ubaldo and Franklin Morales. The 2009 team was the best that they've ever had, and you had guys like Aaron Cook and Ubaldo Jimenez, and they all came up at the same time. They all ended up good at the same time. That's what they're trying to develop. They've made some trades like the Troy Tulowitzki trade. They've done a lot of drafting, and what they have, their numbers at the AA and AAA level. Now, of the 8, 10, 11 guys, if they can find five of them that develop into a good starting rotation, this team could turn around quickly.
Outstanding.
Yeah, and you told us in spring training, Thomas, we always love having him on, and you get a great report like this, that the Rockies are better. Their secondary pitching is better, and we're seeing it now. It used to be they knock out the start in the fourth or fifth inning and forget it after that. Now, it's a little different.
Yeah, it is a little different, and they brought in some veterans. You haven't quite seen all of it because Jason Mott has been injured. He threw a simulated game with Metallica playing the soundtrack yesterday. But he'll join Jake McGee late in the game. Chad Qualls, there's some experience. But what I like is some of the youth that's shown up. Carlos Estevez, who ended up pitching last night. This is a guy who was pitching in double-A last year. It was single-A and double-A, and suddenly he's here because he has that type of talent. There's a guy, Miguel Castro. He ended up getting injured. You saw him early in the year, though. He has a 150 ERA, and when he's back, he's a guy who could be a future closer. There's a lot of that on the way. There's a lefty in AAA, Sam Mall, who's pitching pretty well. But right now, you can see when they do have a lead, they can handle it. Boone Logan is pitching better than he has since he's signed the contract with the Rockies. So there's a lot there to like. It's not all together yet. I mean, I don't know what this team is going to be like at the end of the year. I don't know what the record's going to be like. But I do think that you'll see, hey, they've gotten better, and there's a future there.
They give you a game every time out.
Yep.
They give you a game every time out now.
Well, certainly the Giants.
Well, there or here. They give you a game, and that's the difference. They come in here, they give you a game every time out. So that's what I see.
Yeah, if they could play everybody like they played the Giants, they'd be a contender.
Arenado to start with. And then what about this rookie shortstop? I mean, is this a mirage, or is this just they're waiting for pitchers to get a book on this kid, or what's the deal with Story?
Well, I'll tell you. What I like about Story is this. He went through every step of the minors. They allowed him to struggle in the minors.
Okay.
And that's a big thing because a lot of times when a guy breezes through and then he starts struggling at the major league level, I think it's harder for him to come back. He has struggled before. He hit, I can't even remember what it was, 235 in Class A ball a few years ago. So he knows what it's like to go through struggles. I like where he is in the lineup because Charlie Blackmon, the numbers aren't there yet, and he was injured for a bit, but you're seeing a guy who's seeing a whole lot of pitches. So is Trevor Story, and he's got Carlos Gonzalez behind him. I mean, he has a chance to keep I'm not going to say keep up the pace where he hit, you know, what, seven home runs in the first six games. Nobody does that, but for him to be a very good offensive player, I think that everything is around him. Defensively, you see him get better as the year goes on. I mean, he's a very athletic and talented kid. Is he Troy Tulowitzki? No, and I think we got spoiled by that. But but is he better than your average major league shortstop? I think by the end of the year, we're going to be looking saying, hey, this guy can make some plays because he does move very well.
We're going to see Troy Tulowitzki on Monday with his 170 batting average.
He's having a tough year,
incredible.
Marty.
It's incredible.
He's had tough Aprils before, though. The thing with him is every now and then, he'll just catch fire for about a month, and you're like, where did this come from? Especially when he's hitting 170.
Well, he didn't hit last year. He's hitting a couple home runs, but it's going to be interesting Monday. Boy, nice to have you here. A pleasure having you on today. Very nice. You do a great job, Thomas.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, it's great to be here. Giants fans are wonderful. I'm sitting here. I'm actually keeping myself under control. I've got a Washington Capitals fan next to me.
I know.
There. Yeah.
Penguins, Caps going.
That's right. Going.
You'll be all right. The Caps will choke. We're notorious chokers.
Well, I don't know. The Penguins choked away a 3-1 lead against the Rangers in recent seasons. So I want them to go ahead and, you know, put this thing down and get to the finals and maybe zap the San Jose Sharks. How about that?
And Thomas, I know you have restaurant reservations later at a Japanese joint, huh?
That's right. So we need to get this game in. No rain delays. I think I was told that the rain wasn't going to hit until 5 or so. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if people are trying to make a decision, come on out to the ballpark, get your Brandon Crawford bobbleheads. I may need to sneak in there and pretend I'm 12 years old and see if I can get a couple of those.
You could be one of the 40,000 who will get it.
That's Marty's legacy. By
40,
the way,
000.
That's it, because they used to give 25K out,
and we'd have lines here for 6 hours of people.
Wow!
But
it would have been hard to do the show here with all the lines of people clamoring.
We talked about it, and the Giants realized that they're 450 sellouts in a row, 3.5 million people coming in, and they're making tons of money. And give everybody a bobblehead.
That's great. That's
Marty's like Stallone in Fist. He wasn't having any of it. He's the heavy, and you see the results, and you have 40,000 happy fans today.
We call him a man of influence. There we go.
Barely. Very good. Thomas, thank you so much.
Thanks, Thomas.
Pleasure having you on. All right, more coming up.